Catherine Atkinson is the professional development person at CREATE, the National Development Agency for Collaborative Arts. And the title of Catherine's project is fairly befitting in this second section, but also kind of alludes to some of the work that Des was doing in his film, Representation in Collaborative Arts, Who Tells Whose Story and How. Catherine is the Arts Development Manager, but she's also a performer and a musician, and as a performer and a musician and an artist, she has a really keen sense of the sector in different ways. And CREATE is a very interesting and important body because it supports collaborative and socially engaged arts practices in a whole range of different arts areas and also places. Catherine manages professional development, and part of that role is the management of the Arts Council Artists in the Community scheme, which has been a really key supportive base for a number of different artists, including Fiona's work and others, and those working in the Rialto Youth Project and in other projects. She works with visual artists, writers, theatre makers, musicians, filmmakers, architects and dancers across a whole range of diverse communities of place and our interest. She's a member of the Edges and Margins Collective. She holds a diploma in teaching arts, a certificate of music, and a diploma in theatre and drama studies, but also an MA in public cultural studies at the Dunleary Art and Institute of Design and Technology. So we're going to have Catherine present in a minute. Before we do, however, I'm also going to introduce you to the second performance, which will flow after Catherine. And this is from the Rialto Youth Project. This is Jim Lawler, Nicola Mooney, Michael Byrne, and Fiona Whelan, who all four have worked together for 10 years, which is the decade in which Fiona documents in her book. Jim, who many of you know, is the manager of Rialto Youth Project and has been part of the organisation since its establishment in 1982, an incredible mentor for a whole range of different people. Nicola Mooney is a community youth worker and team leader in Rialto Youth Project. Her own interests include drama and dance, and she's currently doing an MA in drama therapy. And Nicola features large in the book as well. Michael Byrne, Mika? Where are you? You're there. has recently graduated from Maynooth University and has just begun as a community youth worker in Rialto Youth Project, where he attended since he was a young person and later as a volunteer. So it's a wonderful kind of full circle and arc of a story, which is good to hear. Last but not least is Fiona, socially engaged artist. And Fiona's biography is always very tiny, I've noticed. They're very marginal. I don't know whether that's strategic or not. Her practice has been positioned over 10 years in the Rialto Youth Project. She works as the joint course coordinator of the MA Socially Engaged Art in NCAD. It's an extraordinary MA. It deserves to be supported. People, the managerial people in NCAD are here. This is a very, very cutting edge MA and one of its kind. So what they're going to do is performative readings, misreadings of a shared practice. They're going to surprise us, but they're going to share their experiences. They're going to collaborate and exchange different stories together. It's based on the excerpts from transcripts of conversations that have taken place in the Youth Project over the last decade. The performances uses a form that they are very familiar with, from What's the Story Collective, involving and reenacting each other's experience. So we look forward to that. So welcome, Catherine, to begin with.
Thank you, Anya, and good afternoon, everyone. It's great to hear the buzz out there, and I'm looking forward to the buzz at the launch of the book. In this particular section, when Fiona was talking to me, you know, I thought that it would be easy to talk about representation in the context of collaborative arts, based on the experience that we've had and CREATE, based on all the wonderful projects, artists, community groups, engagements that we've experienced both in Ireland and internationally. And then I went, oh dear, representation. It means me talking about other people. And that was the challenge in itself. So I'm going to start with something to do with my own background, my own experience that I think relates specifically to references earlier in the day regarding politics, but is very current because it was part of a speech that Cate Blanchett gave at the memorial service for Gough Whitlam in Australia, who's a previous Prime Minister of Australia. and it was entitled Thanks Gough Whitlam for Free Education. And this is where she spoke about the value of the arts. In any civilised community, this is actually her speaking as Gough Whitlam, not reenacting the way he speaks, as she does as an actor, but more his statement set in the 1970s around the value of the arts. And he said, in any civilised community, arts and associated amenities must occupy a central place. Their enjoyment should not be seen as remote from everyday life. Of all the objectives of my government, none had a higher priority than the encouragement of the arts, the preservation and enrichment of our cultural and intellectual heritage. Indeed, I would argue that all other objectives of a Labour government, social reform, justice and equity in the provision of welfare services and educational opportunities, have as their goal the creation of a society in which the arts and the appreciation of the spiritual and intellectual values can flourish. Our other objectives are all means to an end. The enjoyment of the arts is an end in itself. Gough Whitlam also achieved a number of things within a short term of power, over 3 years, but core to the idea of representation and today was the establishment of the Aboriginal Arts Board, which was a dedicated space for Indigenous arts in Australia, and the National Youth Network, which is a radio network called Triple J. So that's in honour of a Prime Minister who led the country when I was growing up and infused me with a passion for the arts and for the arts in everyday life and for the access to everyone for arts in everyday life. In my job in CREATE, I manage the Artists in Community Scheme, as Anya O'Brien mentioned earlier. And the Artists in the Community Scheme is actually one of the key schemes of the Arts Council's Arts Participation Department. There are a number of other departments that the Arts Council supports, which some of you in the room would be familiar with, around the different art forms that I will describe in a moment, and a number of other different programs. The Arts Participation Department is a specific department as part of that, and a scheme within it is the Artists in the Community Scheme. Twice yearly, the Arts Council offers grants to enable artists and communities of place or interest to work together on projects. The scheme is open to artists from any of the following art form disciplines: architecture, circus, street art and spectacle, dance, film, literature, both Irish and English language, music, opera, theatre, visual arts and traditional arts. The aim of the scheme is to encourage meaningful collaboration between communities of place and or interest and artists. It's essential that consultation take place between the artist and the community group so that both parties are involved in deciding on the nature of the project realisation. Group ownership of the art should be maintained at every stage, and the project realisation may result in a variety of outcomes. There are two phases to the scheme. Phase one is a research and development phase where artists who have an idea or proposal or an opportunity to share an idea or for a community to ask an artist to test out an idea with them around the development of a project in a community context. There is also a mentoring phase within that phase one as well. The research and development with mentoring is open to artists who wish to develop a community-based project and have identified an artist mentor they want to work with during the research and development phase. And then phase two, the project realisation, is open to communities of interest or place or their organisations to work with an artist. And I'm just going to show you some examples of projects today that were funded through the scheme that relate to the subject today. You will also have received a CREATE News outside. There's one there which is called The Spectacle of Participation, but there's also one called Representation and Diversity. The CREATE News on representation and diversity has an essay from Gabrielle Gattamossi on that. And Gabrielle is a poet, playwright and novelist, and a version of this essay appeared in Navigating Difference, which was a policy document by the Arts Council in England around cultural diversity. What we did with this Create News is publish the essay from Gabrielle and then ask a number of artists in Ireland to respond based on their experience. And I have, through these projects, a couple of artist responses to this document that I will relate to the project as well. So obviously, the first project that I'd feature today is Policing Dialogues. It was successful in the Artist in Community scheme during a phase when the project was coming to its realisation as an art event in the lab in Dublin City Council's art space. And we've heard about Policing Dialogues today, and it is referenced very much within Fiona's book. There is also a number of other publications that exist around this project, given the years of work that were engaged with it. And one of the things that I took from the Policing Dialogues Review publication, which is a newspaper that was published as part of it, was a significant moment in the project that Fiona described. The most significant moment of the project to date had been that intimate reading of personal stories as a collective. The tension of knowing the author of the story being read aloud is in the room, coupled with the safety of knowing that no one will ask whose story is whose. The respect that was given by the reader to the story they had picked up to read, more respect than they may have given it if reading their own story aloud. In that moment, we had unwittingly developed a form that would let the project create moments to engage a variety of publics, a form we call a participatory reading event. I thought that quote, particularly from Fiona's experience within the review document, was quite significant around representation and re-presentation in relation to a collaborative arts project. This project was successful in the Artist in Community scheme. The applicant group was Feroiga in St. Teresa's Gardens, and then the project developed from that to be a project with a number of different residents and younger people called Come Into the Gardens. It was a theatre project where there was a theatre performance at the end of a work of creativity, fiction, experience, documentation that then became a short film. And after the short film was made, it was submitted to the JDIF Film Festival, the Jamison Dublin International Film Festival, and was selected as one of the films for the film festival this year. And there was a room dedicated to this film in the Lighthouse Cinema as part of that programme. This project was with the Cope Foundation, and the West Cork Art Centre was one of the agencies that supported the development of it. And the artistic team were called Creedlong, which is an integrated dance company. Key dance members within that company are Tara Brandel and Mary Nugent. And they worked with the Cope Foundation to develop an inclusive dance project that featured a performance on the 12 Arch Bridge in Ballydehob as part of the Ballydehob Festival this summer. And here is an image of one of the works that Creedlong worked with in relation to that project. This project, The Trailer of Bridget Dinigan, was funded through the research and development phase of the Artist in Community scheme. It was initiated by Dylan Tighe. He approached Catherine Joyce and the women of the Blanchardstown Traveller Development Group with an idea. And what I'd like to do now is read to you from Dylan's response to the essay on representation and diversity, because it references this specific theatre project. Dylan says, "Growing up in South Dublin in the 1980s, when I looked at TV, everyone looked and sounded just like me. In school, I looked around and everyone looked like me. Anyone who didn't look like us was judged on how well they could mimic us. Later, working as an actor, I would look out from the stage every night and everyone in the audience looked just like me too. It took me a while to realise that something was toxically wrong with this state of affairs. It began to dawn on me that what I took for my society and my culture was nothing more than a fractured jigsaw, many pieces of which had been disappeared. Adapting Gabriel's maxim, my efforts were to make a theatre that reflected the society I didn't know. I believed that a new form of collaboration and representation was needed to combat Irish theatre's othering of travellers over many decades. With the trailer of Bridget Dinigan, which reimagined Lorca's The House of Bernarda Alba, in collaboration with Irish traveller women, I felt it simply essential that travellers represent and perform themselves on stage through their own words and voices. This was done in a democratic environment where travellers and non-travellers could participate as equals in public space, something still denied on many levels, a place where, to quote Gabrielle, the values of art could be forged to find a common space. The official guardians of the Irish canon can, however, often appear resistant to such innovations. My efforts to present early results of our revised national ideal on the stage of our national theatre were unsuccessful. Equally so, my efforts to have the final script listed in the Irish playography to aid future production and reference due to claims that the work was performed by a non-professional cast. Gabriel's piece invites us to reflect on the deep absences and wounds in the Irish narrative this side of the Irish Sea. Where are the voices of those in direct provision, for example, already a new generation of stolen and abused Irish? Are our cultural infrastructures complicit in their silence and the silence of other vital narratives? Or are we truly ready and equipped to create and facilitate the formation of a new national canon? As the great bard of Brixton, Linton Kwesi Johnson, proclaimed, "There ain't no black in the Union Jack." Beyond the tribal colour scheme, there ain't no colour in the tricolour either, nor horseshoe, nor wagon wheel. Like a nightmare from which we cannot awake, a large pillar of white stands firm, forever standing guard. Isn't it about time we imagined new flags, new institutions, and new forms to, in Gabriel's words, celebrate the reality of our diversity? Another artist who was successful in the Artist and Community Scheme a number of years ago now in the development of the Asylum Archive is an artist called Vukasin Nedeljković. Vukasin wrote a response to Gabriel's essay on cultural diversity in the arts. And he said, "Is cultural diversity possible in Ireland? How to pursue integration when our ethnic minorities, traveller, Roma and asylum seekers community are being isolated, ghettoised and removed from the rest of society? We can only talk about cultural diversity when every individual, regardless of race and ethnicity, is being treated with respect and dignity, when racism and intolerance are not permitted and when ethnic communities are not perceived as other. Then, as regards culture, the crucial question is, as Grant Kester asks, how to create a collaborative and collective space where individuals from other social and political subcultures can contribute or take part in this society." Kester continues, "Working in conjunction with local activists and NGOs, artists initiated a series of platforms designed to facilitate local resistance." He quotes here, "We have failed to grasp the reality of our diversity and still make art in boxes," Gabriel Gadamosi stated. He considerably argues that we know nothing about each other and the movement within our society escapes us. Can the slow activism, as described by Wallace Heim, be a potential solution to the Irish discourse? As she puts it, "The locus of change is one person at a time in a process of communication which is dependent on finding enough common meaning between the artist and participant to sustain a dialogue. The activist's potential for change develops in the time it takes to speak about something and for it to be listened into existence. Therefore, the role of an artist is to be an active participant, a catalyst that promotes constructive dialogue among different participants of culturally diverse sector in this particular case, rather than a figure that stands outside of society, engaged in an internal, singular dialogue." And the last one I just wanted to reference here, we actually are privileged to have Lara here with us today. Lara Pittman is an artist that was successful also in the Artist in Community Scheme with the Museum of the Refound. I'm just going to bring this up so you can see here. Lara's response to Gabriel Gattamossi. Gabriel Gattamossi's London is particular and experienced. It's a subjective view of the English capital. It's a sense of place and time. It's Westminster and Vauxhall. It's London Irish and Black British. There is no such thing as one experience of being Irish either. Ireland has to become more receptive to its own variety of peoples, their voices and perceptions. Supporting creative initiatives and funding culturally diverse arts practitioners is, I think, essential to the health of the nation and to help reveal the multiple layers of Irish society. During the last 2 years, I've worked on a participatory art project with a group of women from Ireland, France, India, Uganda, Somalia, Sri Lanka, Colombia, Lebanon, Syria, and Palestine. We set out to explore Dublin together, to uncover traces of migration from the past and present evidence in the fabric, in the past and present, evident in the fabric of the city. The finds were showcased in the Museum of the Refound, which is obviously not just a website, it was an actual museum in the Baino in Liberties. This showcase posed the idea that we do all have this knowledge of diversity and plurality. We just have to find it again, or find what may have been hidden from us and see the world through different eyes. Gattamossi writes convincingly about the need for the arts to reflect the diversity of society and how identity can be complex and multifaceted. The recent scandal concerning racial profiling of the Roma community in Ireland shows how dangerous stereotyping can be. The arts can't eradicate prejudice, poverty, and disadvantage, but listening to and learning from the virtuosity of Roma musicians now living amongst us might help create a broader understanding. There are two other writers that responded to Gabriel Gattamossi's essay. One was Kunli Animashon, who's a writer and poet and dramatist and the artistic director of Camino Productions, an African Irish theatre company. He's currently the artistic director in residence at the Tala Community Arts, based in Ruaraid in Tala. And Rosaline McDonough, who's a playwright, has been selected as one of the 5 writers to take part in Write to Play, a new writing initiative from Grey Eye, in partnership with some of the UK's leading theatres, the National Theatre Studio, the Royal Court, and the Soho Theatre. And those essays are on the CREATE website. I have one final thing to say in relation to representation and collaborative arts, in particular in relation to the launch of this book this evening. In the final chapter of Benedict Anderson's Imagined Communities, there's a section called Transformation, and it is about a writer. And it says, Benedict says, proverbially, a writer loses his or her book at the moment that it is published, and it becomes part of the public sphere. But to feel the full melancholy force of the adage, there is nothing like facing a translation of a book into a language the author does not understand. Something to look forward to, Fiona. He or she can have little idea of what has happened to it. Misunderstandings, distortions, word-by-word literalisms, additions, deletions, or creative adaptations, seductive rereadings, changed emphases, and more beautiful prose than the original. But if he calls it a loss, your loss is our gain, Fiona. Congratulations for today.